Hi, it's Ian Pickus, and we're in the Congressional Corner today with U.S. Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat from Vermont. He's been in office since earlier this year after a long career in the U.S. House. Senator Welch, welcome back. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
So as we speak, lawmakers are back in Washington. The Senate returned and then the House a week later, and there's this looming deadline to keep the government open. How do you expect things to play out?
Well, we've got to keep the government open. I mean, it's totally inexcusable to be threatening a shutdown. And one of the reasons folks in the House are threatening a shutdown is they want more money for the border. But if we shut down, there won't be any money for the border. So we've got to get through this. But we've got a situation here where there's bipartisan agreement in the Senate and moving forward. The Senate Republicans and Democrats are working very well. I think in the House, you've got that very narrow majority that Speaker McCarthy has, and there's a group of folks that are hell-bent on shutting the government down unless they get their way on all kinds of things.
So are you happy that you're in the Senate now and not the House?
Well, I prefer to have this be a functional operation for the benefit of Vermonters and Americans. And I do feel very good about the bipartisanship that we've had in the Senate, where Senate Republicans say the right thing. We just can't have a shutdown. I mean, our job is to pass budgets, make decisions, and the urgent needs that folks have to be attended to. So there's a lot of activity, and it's really the Republican Party and the Freedom Caucus folks that want to focus on a shutdown as a tactic that they think will be successful. And it's really a mystery to try to understand success at what.
So what would happen if there is a shutdown and there's not agreement on these 11 more bills?
A shutdown is a mess. I mean, that's just the easiest way to put it. There'd be some arrangements made for so-called critical services to continue. But the basic day-to-day functioning of government, where people take for granted that they'll get their Social Security checks, where the military is paid, where law enforcement is paid, where farm programs continue, where the FEMA disaster relief continues. A lot of these things, they're in the background of our lives because we just assume and expect that government will continue to function and do its job. Those are all thrown into disarray when there's a shutdown.
So would you be in favor of a short-term agreement? I know that's been talked about a lot as something that could buy more time.
It's not something I'd favor, but I would support if that's what we had to do in order to ultimately get a budget and be back to functioning fully.
I wonder if you could contrast with us what the Democrats want to see in these spending bills, especially on the heels of the debt ceiling agreement that was struck a few months ago, and where the Republicans are. You know, what's the holdup?
Well, the holdup is that the Republicans in the House made an agreement between Speaker McCarthy and President Biden. That agreement was accepted by the Senate Democrats and Senate Republicans, and it set spending levels. No sooner was the ink dry that the House Republicans, the Freedom Caucus folks, reneged on the agreement, and they say they want to go way back to 2019 or so spending levels. So the problem here is that Speaker McCarthy made an agreement, and now he's breaking an agreement. So if we stuck within the contours of the agreement that we made during the debt ceiling discussions, we'd be fine, and nobody would be getting everything they want. But we'd all be able to function and not put people's well-being in jeopardy.
Let's talk now about the August recess. This is our first time chatting since that time. In Vermont, obviously, a lot of attention was on recovery from the July flooding, which was extreme in some areas. What's the update from someone who has been there in the last few weeks?
Well, you know, I've been all around Vermont, and the reality is that as much as we're making really good progress, FEMA's been doing a really good job. If it's your farm where you lost a lot of your cropland, or you lost all of your crops, as some of our vegetable farms did, or if it's your home in Barry or in Johnson that got flooded and you're still out of it, or if you have one of those businesses in downtown Montpelier where it's cleaned up, but you've lost all that revenue and you have to make a big decision about reinvesting, it's really, really tough. So the pain is still very much there. You know, the governor is working really hard. The FEMA folks are doing a great job. But the most painful thing for me was just seeing how hard it is, you know, for somebody who had a home and now they don't. For somebody who's farming and their whole income comes from the harvesting of the crop and they have no crop to harvest. So we're working really hard here to get additional FEMA relief and also to get flexibility because bottom line, a lot of these folks do need money to be able to get back into their farming to replant for some crops. To be able to rehabilitate their business and fight another day. So we're on this. This is going to be ongoing. But it's tough, tough, tough if it's your farm, your home, your business.
It's a lot to keep track of, I think, all the different declarations and the available federal funding and then federal funding on top of what's already come in. Numbers-wise, what does the state still need from the federal government, in your view?
Well, the FEMA funds have to be replenished because there's categories of aid and there's not a line item for what happened in Vermont versus a line item for what happened in Maui. There are programs and those programs are available to help businesses, farms, and families. So if that fund runs dry, then everybody who's been really hurt in Vermont, in Maui, would be in jeopardy. So the biggest thing we have to do right now is pass the supplemental appropriation request that President Biden made for $16 billion. So if we don't get that, it's really going to be threatening to our folks. So far, the funds are still there. So FEMA has been addressing these claims as they come in. But we do have to, for the benefit of the Vermonters, folks in the hurricane in Florida, and of course, Maui with that devastating fire, we've got to replenish those funds.
You've been a public figure in Vermont for quite a long time. Is this the worst kind of natural disaster you've seen in that state?
Well, Irene was, I think, even more extensive. Mm-hmm. You know, Irene did much more infrastructure damage. And it was almost like $1 billion in damage. But in this one, it was just, it didn't even have a name. You know, we had the Tropical Storm Irene. This was just a amount of rain where this, the rain just got stuck over parts of Vermont. And on one side of a mountain range, it would be devastating, like in Johnson, like down in Weston, in Londonderry. But on the other side of the mountain, it didn't do much at all. But this weather event was not big enough to be an official storm, but it just didn't stop raining because it just stalled. And, of course, the other factor was all the hot air that is now the hot water in the ocean is creating much more moisture in the atmosphere. So this is a climate change event. And it was really bad, much worse for Johnson in this storm than it was in Irene. But around the state, the overall state damage was greater in Irene.
We've been speaking with Vermont Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat in office since earlier this year after a long career in the House. And when we come back the next time, let's pick it up right here.
Great. Thank you.